And what a special day. And what a special place. What a special community of people you all are. I love Christmas. This is my most favorite time of the year. And it's a deep privilege for me to get to share in a portion of this season with you all. I look on faces that I know and recognize, and some I don't. I know many of your names, and others I don't. I know many of your stories, and others I don't. I love seeing your hands lifted, your teeth showing through a beautiful smile, your voice exalting King Jesus, baby Jesus, who we celebrate this time of year. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Turn to somebody and tell them Merry Christmas. In British culture, they say Happy Christmas. So turn to somebody else and in your best British accent, say Happy Christmas. In Hawaii, they say Malakaliki Maka. I'm not going to make you say that to anybody, so don't worry about that. Feliz Navidad. Very good, yes. Si. All these greetings, they're all for him. They're all for King Jesus. Jesus is the centerpiece of Christmas time. And all that goes along with this season is for him. The garlands, the lights, the tinsel, the bows, the wrapping paper, it's all for him. Our songs and symphonies, our parties and our caroling, it's all for him. Our ugly Christmas sweaters, our goofy office Christmas present swaps, our classic door decorations, our cheesy Christmas movies, our special treats and desserts and our baked goods that we make around Christmas time, it's all in celebration of the arrival of Jesus. And even when we don't know it, it's for him. Even when we don't mean to be celebrating Jesus, that is still exactly what is happening. Everything we've seen and heard and shared in all throughout this past month, it has all been for him. I'll stretch this even a little bit further. All right? Even all of the secular Christmas music, all that stuff about Santa and Frosty and Rudolph that's been playing on Sunny 100 since November the 1st, yes, even all of that is for him. Now, some of you would say, all right, that's where you went too far. That's the bad part of the Christmas. That's the over-commercialization of Christmas. That's all about advertising dollars and radio revenue. But listen, if Jesus had never come, there would be no Christmas to write songs about and play on the radio. If Jesus never comes, there is no Christianity. If Jesus never comes, there's no real, actual Christian saint in Greece in the 5th century named Nicholas, upon whom our fictional person of Santa Claus and all those traditions that surround him would have been created. If God had not come to earth, if Jesus had not been born, there would be no Christmas. There would be no Christianity. There would be no salvation from sin. There would be no hope for the future. And so all of these celebrations, all of the joy, all of the specialness of this season, none of it would exist apart from Jesus. But because of him, because of the advent of the Savior, the coming and the arrival of Jesus to earth, we celebrate. The whole world celebrates all of the trees and the gifts and the decorations and the music and the lights and the candles and the food. It's like the whole world is throwing Jesus one gigantic earth-wide birthday party. Even when people don't realize that's what they're doing, it is still Jesus and his birth that is being celebrated around the world at Christmas time. That's what all of this is about. Now, this morning we get to have a very special guest scripture reader. He's going to appear on your screens. So if you would direct your attention up to the screen for our guest scripture reader this morning.
Oh. guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
True, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
The dance the kids do in the Charlie Brown Christmas movie. Do you love that dance? It's just kids being kids and just delighting in something and just being wild and crazy. I never went to like a club or anything in any of my younger years, but I always thought if I did, I would just do all those dances. I just love it. I just love kids celebrating like kids. It's beautiful to me. Over this past month, our teaching team has been reviewing the pattern of Advent. We've called this pattern the arrival. And it begins with preparation. From the foundations of the earth, from the moment of humanity's first sin against God, he was making preparations to come to us, to be our Savior. God prepared a special people in the Hebrews through whom he would bless all the peoples of the world with his saving grace. God prepared a special location in Israel where he would arrive onto the earth. He even prepared a specific family line through the family of Judah and on down through King David and then on to, down to Joseph and Mary, through which he would be born into the world. Some people anticipated the arrival of Jesus. There were those like Simeon and Anna who were anticipating his arrival. They were looking forward to his coming, and they were ready. They welcomed his arrival. And then just as suddenly and surprisingly as a thief in the night, he came. Jesus was born into a lowly farmhouse, not far from a shepherd's field in the little village of Bethlehem. And the angels appeared in the sky, and they heralded the arrival of humanity's Savior to those unlikely workers. And then there's the response that his coming demands of all of us. We can either welcome him and receive him as Savior and Lord, or we can reject him as Savior and Lord. That's what all of this is for. The day that God came to earth as an infant to grow into a man, to experience human life, to live and walk and work among us as one of us. His life and death would redeem mankind. His resurrection would conquer sin and death and the grave forever. And all of heaven and all of earth, all of creation sings and celebrates and rejoices at the wonderful and unfathomable miracle of the arrival of King Jesus. Now tonight in the church calendar marks the end of Advent. Advent actually ends on Christmas Eve. That's because Advent means coming or arrival. And Christmas is the day he came. So tomorrow we celebrate that the long wait for his coming has ended. Tomorrow we celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. Let's look together at another scripture. Let's look together at how the arrival of Jesus is described for us in the book of Matthew, chapter 1. If you have a copy of the Bible, I'd love for you to follow along in your own. I've got mine up on the screen. You can follow with me. That's fine. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 1, starting with verse 18. says this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had made up his mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from God's Holy Spirit." The angel continued to talk to Joseph in his dream. The angel said, "She, Mary, will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." Now, in my Bible, there's a little footnote by the word Jesus. And if you look down, it says Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua, Yeshua, which means the Lord saves. Now, Jesus was an odd name for Joseph's family, because we don't know that there was anyone else in his family named Joshua or Jesus. And so the angel came and said, "No, you're going to give this child a very special name. It means the Lord saves." Verse 22, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him," they'll give him this nickname, "Emmanuel," which means God with us. So Joseph wakes up from his dream. He clears his eyes. He clears his head. He thinks about what's just happened. And he does what the angel of the Lord commanded him to do. And he took Mary to be his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he, Joseph, gave him, his son, the name Jesus. This pattern of arrival, of preparation and anticipation and arrival and response, it was not just a one-time pattern that very first Christmas. We rehearse this pattern every single year at Christmas time. In December, when we prepare for and look forward to and respond to the second arrival of Jesus, the Savior of humankind, who is returning to the earth. In the New Testament, Jesus' second coming is actually talked about far more than his first. Christians make an enormous deal out of Christmas, and rightfully so. You know, the incarnation of God coming to the world as a human baby, that's the event on which all of human history pivots. I mean, we literally mark time based on the birth of Jesus around the world. But Jesus himself actually called the people to look ahead to his second coming. So let's look together at some more scriptures from the New Testament that describe how the second arrival of Jesus is going to take place. And as we read these words, I just want to invite you to really soak them in. Think about them. Don't just hear me read them. Don't just kind of trace your eyes across the page. Let them soak into you. Drink them in. Absorb them together with me. The first one is also in the book of Matthew, but towards the end. Matthew chapter 24, verses 30 and 31. Jesus is speaking. In my Bible, it has red letters. I don't know if you can quite see it on the screen. But in my Bible, that means these are the words of Jesus. It's actually him speaking. Verses 30 and 31. "They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and with great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his chosen ones from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other." The next is in the book of Luke, chapter 12. This is Jesus speaking again about his return. And he's teaching his disciples about being watchful, being ready. He says, "Be dressed and ready for service and keep your lamps burning," which in that time meant keep the front porch light on, keep the door unlocked, be ready, even at nighttime. "Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he," their master, "comes and knocks, they," his servants, "can immediately open the door for him." Now look at this twist in verse 37. "It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes." Why? "I tell you the truth, he will dress himself," the master will dress himself, "to serve. He will have them, his servants, recline at the table, and he will come out and wait on them. This is Jesus describing his return. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes very late in the night, in the second or third watch of the night. Because understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let it happen. He wouldn't have let his house be broken into. And so you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Let's look at some more words of Jesus in John chapter 14. The words Jesus says to his disciples, he says around the upstairs Last Supper table. This is the night before he would be crucified, the next morning. So these are some of his last words to his disciples, and he's actually told them, this is the end for me, guys. It ends tonight. And they're disturbed by this. And Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. You trust in God, trust also in me. And then listen to this description of him going and returning. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. Now, Jesus tells us in this same speech later that what he tells his 12 disciples around that table that night is for all who would ever follow him. It's explicit in the word. That means the speech he gives the disciples is a speech he gives to you and me as his follower today. So he's not just talking to 12 obscure men from 2,000 years ago. He's talking to you and to me this morning when he says, I am going there to prepare a place for you. Jesus has gone to heaven to prepare a place for you, specifically for you. And if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come back and I'll take you to be with me so that you may be where I am. Jesus wants you to be with him forever. He's preparing a place for you to come and join him in eternity forever. Let's look at a couple more in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. These aren't the words of Jesus. These are the words of Paul describing the second coming of the Lord. In verses 16 through 18, he says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, all who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then look at this little sentence. And so, we will be with the Lord forever. And so just like that, we will be with the Lord forever. And then verse 18, he says, therefore, encourage each other with these words. When we talk about the coming of Jesus at Christmas, when we talk about the return of Jesus at some point in the future, it is for our encouragement as his followers. It's to bless us. It's to strengthen us. It's to remind each other, hey, the Savior has gone ahead of you. He's preparing a place for you. He's going to come back and rescue you and bring you home to his Father's house where there are many rooms. Encourage each other with these words. And then in Titus chapter 2, we actually have a description of both his first coming and his second coming in one little paragraph, starting at verse 11. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. When did that appear? When did the grace of God that brings salvation to all men appear? At Christmas, through the incarnation, when God came to earth as a baby. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And so it, the grace of God that brings salvation, teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age, meaning this age between his first coming and his second coming. We're sort of in this present waiting time period, so that we can live in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, that's his second coming, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, who are eager to do what is good. So our annual rehearsal at Christmas time of this arrival pattern, preparation, anticipation, arrival, and response, it is all meant year after year after year to remind us that Jesus is coming again. This time, when he comes, he will usher in his full and final and complete victory over sin and death and the grave and hell and all the forces of evil that war against our eternal souls and his eternal will. Each year at Christmas, we are reminded to live in expectation, to be an expectant people, to ready ourselves for his arrival again. As a teenager, I was so convinced that Jesus was going to come back in my lifetime. I literally devised a method for eating my meals based on that belief. And this isn't a joke, okay? If at my table I had, you know, dessert and a plate with, you know, some meat and vegetables and a salad and a drink, I'm not kidding, I would eat my dessert first, then I'd have the meat portion, and then my sides would come next, and then the salad would be last. Now, I like salad. I like a good Caesar salad especially, but it's last in line. Why? Because if Jesus comes back mid-meal, what a shame for me to have eaten all the broccoli and mashed potatoes. You know, and then as I'm floating up, I'm staring at a steak and a piece of cake in regret, right? I literally ate my food that way as a teenager. I was so convinced that his return was imminent. You know, I thought he was going to come back, you know, before I had a chance to get my driver's license or graduate high school or get married. I actually used to, when a big milestone in my life was coming, I used to actually pray and say, Jesus, could you hold off for a couple of days? I really want to drive the car. I'm really looking forward to my high school graduation. I'm really looking forward to enjoying my wedding day. I want to see my kids be born. I would ask him to prolong his coming a little bit so that I could enjoy these little things in my life. That's how convinced I was that he was coming back in my lifetime. Now, in contrast to me asking Jesus to maybe wait a little bit longer before returning, let's look at the last words in our Bible. These are the final words of God's written revelation of himself to mankind. The Spirit and the bride say, come. This is talking about the Spirit of God and the bride. Bride is a metaphor used throughout the scriptures to describe those whom have given their hearts to God, who are lovers of God, who are followers of Jesus. They're described as a bride. So the Spirit of God and the people of God, the bride, say, come. Let him who hears this word say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. And then in verse 20, he who testifies to these things, that's Jesus. And just to make sure I know it, the editors of my Bible put these next words in red print. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. And so the response of the Spirit of God, the response of the people of God, the response of the writer of Revelation says, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. This month, our family's been doing an Advent devotional book together called Reset. And it's just like a page a day. And at the end of each day's reading, the author put in this phrase, people get ready, Jesus is coming. And we're supposed to, as a family, kind of say that back and forth together, and we do that each day. And so I'd love to practice that with you. So I'll say the first line, if you'll repeat the second line with me. People get ready, Jesus is coming. People get ready. As lovers of God, as followers of Jesus who are filled with and guided by his Spirit, we are to be an expectant people, to live in readiness for the second arrival of Jesus. Well, how do we do that? How do we prepare ourselves for Jesus' triumphant return? There's a verse in our Bibles I want to encourage you to memorize. It's in Acts chapter 2, and it's the 38th verse. And I'd love for you to memorize this verse. I'm working on memorizing it right now myself. I don't have it completely down. But this is my new memory verse. It's Acts 2:38. It says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And so according to this simple little verse, the first step is to repent. To repent is to turn your back on the world's system of sin and self-centered living, of moral corruption, and to turn toward God, His kingdom values, and His definition of what righteousness is. Then it says, demonstrate your act of repentance, your decision to turn to God in faith, through baptism. Testify to the world that you are now a follower of Jesus by being baptized. So if you're sitting here today and you've never repented of your sin, you've never turned to God in faith, and you've never demonstrated that repentance, that wonderful new commitment you've made by being baptized, then please let us know. We can help you do that. On the communication cards and the seat backs in front of you, there's a spot on the back where you can say, "I'd like to talk to a pastor about being baptized. I'd like to commit my life to Christ." You can communicate that with us. And you can bring that card to a pastor. You can drop it in one of the offering boxes on your way out, and we'll follow up with you. That's why this church exists. To awaken people to extraordinary life in God. To assist people in putting their trust in Jesus as Savior. To encourage people along in their journey of surrendering their lives to His good and gracious Lordship. To equip people to share the good news of His eternal freedom and His extraordinary life that He shares with us. It says, repent and be baptized. Where'd you go, verse 38? There you are. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Almighty God, the Father of all creation, the giver of life, the rescuer and redeemer of humanity, He has a gift for you this Christmas. And according to this verse, that gift is He wants to give you His very own Spirit to be with you, to convict and cleanse your heart from sin, to teach you the truth about yourself and about Him and about the world, to guide you in living, to give you spiritual gifts, to empower you to be His co-worker in bringing His kingdom values and purposes to your realm of influence in the world. So the way we prepare for Jesus' second coming is to repent, to receive Christ's own Spirit into our lives, and then to submit our daily living, our thinking, our choices, our behavior, our interactions with others, to submit every area of our lives fully to Jesus. This is how we ready ourselves for His return. This is how we learn from and prepare ourselves for and enter into that pattern that's set for us at the first arrival of Jesus at Christmas. This is how we live in expectancy of the arrival. People, get ready. Jesus is coming. Now, we're going to do something special here, and I'm looking for someone who might can help me out. Let's see. Jay, would you be willing to pop your head through those doors and let the teachers know we're ready for the kiddos to come in? Parents, our Kingdom Kids teachers are going to bring the children into the sanctuary. Children ages 2 up to grades 5 and 6 are going to come in, and they're just going to come along and sit right up here in the front of the sanctuary with us so they can enjoy the conclusion of our service together with us. We're going to have a closing video together, and then we're going to sing a closing song, and I wanted the kids to be able to come in and celebrate those things with us. After the closing song, I will actually dismiss the children and their teachers back through that door to return to their classes. So if you're a mom or dad here, you won't get your child from the front. After they go back to their classrooms, I'll say a blessing, I'll dismiss you, and then you can go back around the side and to their classroom using your identification sticker like we would normally do. Okay. So the kids will be coming in here in just a moment. And as they come in, I want to remind you all about our carols and communion time that we're having this afternoon here at the church. It's a drop-in. It's a come anytime that it works for you between the hours of 4 o'clock and 5:30. out in the lobby area, we're going to have our hospitality team is going to be serving hot cocoa and hot apple cider. Our worship team is going to be leading in Christmas carols out in the lobby, and you're welcome to come and stay and enjoy that as long as you like. You can make it short or last long. It's totally up to you. And then when you're ready, we're going to have the sanctuary set up with multiple communion tables, and there's going to be a pastor at each table. And when you're ready, you'll come in through the doors with your family or your friend group, or if you came alone, we'll gather you with a group of people to gather around a table, and there'll be a special time of devotion and of sharing in communion together around a small table with a circle of people. After that, you'll go back out through the doors, and so that'll be happening back and forth constantly throughout the whole hour and a half, so you can come anytime between 4 o'clock and 5:30 that works for you to share in a very special moment of communion with us. Okay, now, under your seat or the seat in front of you or somewhere nearby, there's a couple of glow sticks. I'd like for you to reach down and pick those up. If you don't have one, you can kind of pass them around. I'd like for you to snap those, crack them, shake them up, get them nice and lit. We're going to bring the lights down a little bit for the video, and we're going to have a cool little light show going on in here. If you got two of the same color and you want to like mix and match and trade with your neighbor, you can totally do that. That's fine. I think they should all have connectors, so if you want to make them into bracelets or anklets, you can do that. Shake up and enjoy your glow sticks, and they're going to make sense in a moment. Remember the whole birthday party for Jesus thing? Okay, so our kids are going to be coming in. We're going to go ahead and roll our final video, and worship team, if you guys want to come on out for our final song and be ready, you can. So let's watch the screens and enjoy this video together.
Mary was really scared when the angel came to her. There was one main angel called Gabriel. He was just a boy angel.
She had wings and she was all white.
The angel said, "You're gonna have a special baby."
And it was God's son.
She was quite excited.
A bit scared.
And she was like, "Oh my gosh, I'm gonna have the son of God." And then she was like, "I can't, I'm not married and stuff."
Joseph, he was a builder. Mary told Joseph that she was having a baby called Jesus and it was God's son.
He's like, "What?"
Then Joseph saw the angel in a dream.
I think Joseph was really scared.
And then they went to Bethlehem.
On a donkey.
It'd be quite hot.
She had a baby in her tummy. And she would have been really heavy.
She said,
"Can we stop anywhere with these houses?"
They had to try and find somewhere for Mary to have the baby.
They went around a whole neighborhood.
"No, there's no space."
Everyone said no in an angry voice because it was the middle of the night.
Last innkeeper,
he said, "Yeah, there's a barn type thing around the back."
They had to go to a barn and have their baby.
It had sheep.
It was like all hay and animal poop and sheep and things.
Mary put baby Jesus in one of those troughs.
They call the baby Jesus and they loved him. And he has two daddies, God and Jesus. They both needed to look after the baby.
The angel told the shepherds to follow the star.
There was three kings.
They followed the star all the way to where Jesus was born.
Mm-hmm.
they get to the stable, they give them Jesus the presents.
And then they got some angels as visitors too. And then there was a giant star. Everyone was there.
Then there was a party.
As a response this morning with our glow sticks lit and all connected across the middle row. I love it. That's awesome. I want to encourage you. Oh, and over here we got some connection going over here on the left. That's awesome. I want to invite you all to stand. And our conclusion, our response this morning is going to sing in celebration of the birth of Jesus. So Dwayne and team, will you guys lead us in singing our final song? See, be glad you came to the 9 o'clock, because at 11, I'm going to make all the adults do the Peanuts dances that you saw in the video. Hey, kids. Hey, kiddos. Hey, everybody wave your glow stick at me. Everybody wave your glow stick. Wave your glow stick. Wave. All right, now look at the adults. Look at the adults. They all have glow sticks, too. Look at that. So while you guys have been back there at Kingdom Kids, we've been in here playing with glow sticks. So you'll have something to look forward to in 10 or 12 years. All right, Kingdom Kids teachers, thank you guys so much for bringing the little ones in here. If you guys would take them back to their classes, and mommies and daddies will come pick you up in just a few minutes. So kiddos, you can follow your teachers back to your classrooms, and moms and dads will come get you from your classrooms in just a few minutes. Y'all can walk over this way. Adults, I don't know if you know this. I read a study in 2015 that found that at that time, so just a couple years ago, the body of Christ around the world, those who would call themselves Christians, were half of the Christians in the world were age 15 and younger. So children and teenagers, they're not just, you know, the church of tomorrow. They're not just the future body of Christ. They are half of the present body of Christ. And they don't just serve a little child-sized God. They serve the same great big adult miracle-working God that we serve. And the calling that God has on their lives isn't for a few years from now. It isn't for when they turn 20 or 40 or 60, they're going to do something great for God. God has a calling on these guys' lives right now. And they are in places that you and I can't go into. And I don't know how an 8-year-old can share the gospel with people. But it can happen, and it does happen. And we have stories of parents in this church who talk about their little evangelist children, their little faith-filled children that pray for people. They're the church of God for today. And we get the joy of sharing in our fellowship together with them, sharing in our worship and our celebration together with them. And so I hope as you take these silly little, you know, 10-cent, whatever, 5-cent glow bracelets home with you, you'll remember the miracle of Jesus, his love for children, how he came as a baby, and how he calls us to ready ourselves for that second coming when he'll take us home to be with him forever and all will be made well. I want to send you out now with this very special Christmas blessing. Behold, take notice, open your eyes. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. People, get ready. Jesus is coming. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And Merry Christmas to you.